This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, June 29th, 2016, The Solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We on this day celebrate the feast day of the martyrdom of Saints Peter and Paul. We have other feast days to celebrate the establishment of the church on the rock, which is Saint Peter. That is the chair of Saint Peter. We have other feast days for Saint Paul. Today, both of them are gloriously celebrated because of their martyrdom, because they gave their very lives for the truth of the gospel. It is hard for us to fathom. I mean, we bandied back and forth about this little nuance and that little nuance. It's kind of hard for us to think sometimes that truly people, and still do, die for their faith. What I want to get, not so much the act of their dying, which is glorious in and of itself and could be talked upon and ought to be lauded for all eternity, but not just the act, but what we should do in respect of that act, how we should act and how we should approach our faith when human beings, not just them, but all kinds of human beings, have died for their faith in the most horrible of ways. Endured the most heinous tortures. I mean, people used to come together and try to outdo one another as to how horrible we can make these Christians suffer. Out of respect for them, we should not only celebrate the in memorial of them, but to understand the truth for which they died and to proclaim that truth just as they did as our examples. Like I said, their martyrdom. I mean, it screams from the readings that you have, the first reading. King Herod breathing fire out upon the church. I mean, he kills one guy out of his own animus and he sees, oh, the Jews are real happy about me killing these Christians. Love it. I'll kill some more. Arrest Peter, throws him in prison. Peter escapes by the hand of an angel miraculously. However, he will get his in the end, as our Lord said in the Gospel for the Vigil Mass. He said, it's when the Lord says after the, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? Three times. Then he says, when you were younger, you put on your own clothes and you went where you wanted to go. In your old age, someone else will dress you and they will take you where you do not want to go. Specifically and explicitly saying that he spoke of the martyrdom that Peter was going to endure. The second reading today from St. Paul. St. Paul's in the dungeon. St. Paul is in prison. He knows what's coming, and he's not lamenting. He is not on his face praying for God's mercies in a quick and painless death. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I am about to receive the crown that my Lord has bought for me. He looks at his death as something glorious, even before he dies, because he knows the truth of the gospel in all its fullness, not parts of it as on the heels of Sunday's sermon. It is not the gospel to hear about only the Savior, his mercy, and his grace. That is not the entire gospel. You have to know about his justice also. Saints Peter and Saint Paul knew about his justice. Did St. Peter and Paul not know that in their humanity, they had fallen way short of where they should have been? Although they did all those glorious things afterward, Peter denied him, Paul had spent a good portion of his life killing, arresting, and trying to destroy the church. His words, "I tried to destroy the church of God." Again, a reading from the Vigil Mass of Saints Peter and Paul. They understood that death is part and parcel of this work. Make something good out of it. Do something positive. We are the only people walking the face of the planet that can make death positive. Not only make it positive, make it glorious. That's why we should ever be praying for a holy death. It's the utmost necessity. These men knew it. There are examples. Why did they change? Why did Peter change from denier of his Savior to the one who said, "I'm not worthy to die," the way he did, and got himself crucified upside down? An old man crucified. How horrible a death is that? He brought it on himself. "I'm not worthy to die the way my Savior died." St. Paul also. They were going to release him. They were going to release him. "There's nothing wrong with this. He hasn't done anything wrong. I'm going to release him." St. Paul, "I appeal to Caesar. I want to get on a soapbox. I want to get on a soapbox because I want to proclaim this Jesus Christ, this one who is merciful and full of grace, my Savior, but the one who is just. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That is the gospel of Peter and St. Paul. Repent, turn away from your sins. It is a gospel that we cannot change. It doesn't matter what your position may be in the church or anywhere else. It doesn't matter what you might believe internally. It doesn't matter what you know, how many classes you've gone to, how much you know about culture nowadays and how we understand so much more. You are not to touch the gospel because it's not yours to touch. It's not yours to change. It's no one's to change. The source is God, the immutable one, the one that St. James says there is no variableness of change, no shadow of change. The scriptures say the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is God. He does not change. And the word that emanates from him, particularly the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ, does not change either. The message cannot change. It cannot change. Now, people may keep you from hearing it, or good portions of it, when it comes to judgment and hell, things like that, that we just don't like to hear about. They might not hear about it. You might never hear about it. You might not hear it taught. But guess what? It's still there. The claims of our Savior, that to receive him, you must repent. Turn away. That is not, as I always say, we'll emphasize continuously till everybody gets it. Repentance is not being sorry for your sins. It is to turn away from them. And it is of necessity. That is the gospel message. It is the gospel message that our Lord validated when he said to Peter, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." What's entailed with that? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. As I said before, what you say cannot change. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, "The heavens and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away." It will not pass away. It will not change. You might hide it under a rock. You might ignore it, but it will never change. It will never go away. That's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both Saints Peter and Paul understood. Peter from the words of our own Savior's lips. Simon Bar-Jonah, "Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You and your humanity cannot, as holy as you are, I've called you to myself, as the one who I'm going to build my church, you yourself cannot come up with this. My Father in heaven has revealed it to you. The second reading for the Vigil Mass for Saints Peter and Paul. Saint Paul writes to the Galatians that the message I received, I did not learn from anyone. It was not taught to me. It was revealed to me by Jesus Christ. It is not man's message with which to trifle, with which to mess. It is God's word. And because God is its source, it does not change. Saints Peter and Paul died for the establishment of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, the one holy Catholic and apostolic Roman church. They're both from Jerusalem. They're both Israelites and both wind up in Rome to establish this church. And it's kind of interesting to look at history and how, unfortunately, it has a tendency to repeat itself. When Saints Peter and Saint Paul got to Rome, Rome was a place that, as Saint Leo the Great says, rejected no falsehood. Think about those words for a second. Rome rejected no falsehood. Every province, every country that they overwhelmed and overcame militarily, they didn't destroy their idols and their false demonic gods. They embraced them. Everything was okay. It's okay for them. Heck, another God's not going to do us any harm, right? They rejected no falsehood. They didn't tell anybody that they were doing religiously was wrong. That was the status quo of Rome. They rejected no falsehood. Peter and Paul got there, and they said, you know what? Not only do you not reject every falsehood, we've got the truth for you. You've got a whole bunch of gods, but there is only one. And his son is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the only one through whom you will obtain salvation. It's kind of interesting with relativists. Everything goes except the truth. We reject no falsehood. Everybody can believe what they want. Except you guys who say that there's only one true God. We're going to kill you. Rome rejected no falsehood. Saints Peter and Paul confronted them with the truth of one living God through whom the only way you can get to him is our Lord Jesus Christ. God himself, the one risen from the dead. They despised that. It's kind of interesting. They rejected no falsehood, but they rejected the truth. As I said before, it's really sad that sometimes people just can't let things go. Because Rome took over a good portion of the known world at the time militarily. Okay? But then due to their moral collapse and part and parcel of rejecting no falsehood, their society became decadent and it fell. The one holy Catholic and apostolic church that was established at Rome overcame many more continents. No place on the world where the Catholic Church is not now because of the truth claims of the apostles, Saints Peter and Paul, and all those who faithfully were their successors. Overcame the entire world. Rome again militarily conquered a good portion of it where it was known. Our Lord Jesus Christ conquered points that were unknown, overcame barbarians, overcame those who overcame Rome because of the truth, because they stood stalwart for a truth. They did not try to adulterate it. They did not try to change it. Their message was repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the message of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precursor, St. John Baptist. As I said, when you start messing around with it, it doesn't make it go away. It doesn't change the message one iota, but it puts souls on the broad road to hell when you start obfuscating things, covering them up, trying to be ambiguous about some of the truths. They're just the four marks of the church. One, holy, Catholic, apostolic. One church, that's what Saints Peter and Paul preached. One church, the church of Jesus Christ that he established. not some group founded by men that came up 500, 1,000, 1,500 years later. One church, the Holy Church, instituted by Jesus Christ himself, the only institution, the only government on the face of this planet that has ever existed from the top down. No matter if you're talking about democracies, dictatorships, monarchies, the people decided collectively, hey, we'll put this guy in charge of us. We'll adhere to this governmental system. Not that way in Catholicism. Jesus Christ, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Top down completely. Always has been. And for all her foibles and problems, it's still the structure. One holy Catholic. Catholic means universal. It is not a denominational term. Everything else is a derivative of the Catholic Church. Concentric circles, some closer, some farther away, but all a derivative thereof. Catholic. If you are a Christian, you believe this universally. You believe in the real, true presence, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior in the Eucharist. You believe in the primacy of the See of St. Peter. You believe these things. And if you don't, you're not in the church. You might love Jesus with all your heart, but you're not in the church. It's Catholic. Everybody has to believe the same thing. Our Lord says in Ephesians, through St. Paul, there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism. No, we all pray to Jesus. That's the one Lord part. One faith. Theirs is not our faith. They deny primary tenets of our faith. Still claim the title Christian, but deny the faith that our Lord Jesus Christ established. One holy Catholic and apostolic, based on the message of Saints Peter and Paul, and again their successors. The teachings of our church are apostolic. We must continue as individuals and as congregations. Maybe in the more grand scheme of things, they'll not present it the way it always has been presented, or they might want to apologize for it. But guess what? You need to unapologetically proclaim the truth claims of Saints Peter and Paul. Read them. Proclaim them. Do not apologize for them. We need ask no one forgiveness for preaching the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's just the bottom line. These men died for that. They and countless others died horrible, excruciating deaths, humiliation for that truth. And for us in our arrogance to think for one moment that we can stand up in front of people and have a feast day like this, and then in the same breath say we're apologized for the things that they taught, it's blasphemy. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.